This is CliffCentral.com.
Yep, like the good friends that we are, we're here every morning, and today is no different. It's Thursday. You know, when the least you could do when someone says to you, "I need you," is to pitch up on time. We try to do it. Oh, there's lots going on in the world that we think is hilarious and ridiculous. I was talking to Pumi and Sia just now. They were telling me about Canthan's wife, Sarah, who was tweeting about like what they have to do as parents. Like, you know, your job as a parent is tough enough. But listen to this. So, Sia, just explain, please, because I don't want to get it wrong. What do these parents have to do at the school? This is madness.
Shame, man. I don't know. So, this is what Canthan's wife tweeted recently. Yeah. She said, "There's a new snack list from the school. Every day, a different parent has to provide a cooked snack, fruit, and fruit juice to 25 kids.
So, like, you have to, twice a month or whatever, you have to run a factory, basically, at home the night before and do meal prep for 25 kids.
And this is what has further pissed them off. She continues, "Still processing the fact that yesterday a teacher told my husband they're tired of mac and cheese and want fish fingers or chicken nuggets instead."
Oh, this is rough. Pumi, tell me that isn't...
Over to you.
Yeah, like you're the parent the in the room. Parent. Like, come on.
Bona. That is ridiculous.
Cooking for 25 kids.
Is absolutely ridiculous, and I would say check out school. But Gareth, this is the thing, right? I think that being a parent in this 2019, it's not so much that it's hard or... Right?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous, the expectations of people around you. Like, and everybody's got an expectation, right? It's terrible.
And half these kids are going to end up morons anyway.
Like, whose decision was it?
They're putting in all this effort for a bunch of kids who are going to end up so average. Half of them, at least, will end up complete disasters.
She also carried on and she said, like, four of the kids are vegetarian, so you have to cater for them as well.
And nut allergies. Let
me tell you something. When I was a kid, we didn't even get the option. Like, we ate what our parents ate. We didn't have an option.
You ate soil.
I might have had a nut allergy. Well, not exactly soil, but, you know, some days there wasn't a lot going around. There are some days you'd maybe get a bit of cheese on a biscuit.
Listen, I'm telling you, the problem is the parents.
Yeah, they make these rules. Now,
like,
why are they doing this?
Who decided at this bloody school that this is a thing to be done? Everybody must just make lunch for their own bloody child.
Yes, isn't that the way it works?
Just thinking, is it easier cooking once a month? Let's just say they are like, yeah, give or take your 20 school days a month. Yeah. You're cooking once a month or... cooking every day. It could actually be a little easier.
It's not easier.
Have you
now? You have to cater for somebody else's little brat,
and they have
and
these
all of their
nut
stuff.
Allergies,
lactose intolerant. Me, I don't eat this.
If you just pop a little,
and then they still complain that oh no, we
chicken nuggets.
Chicken
now
nuggets.
I'm done. And macaroni and cheese. We're laying there getting macaroni and cheese. 2 minute noodles.
Is that what you throw their way?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Dude, we grew up on poloni, so like, yeah.
You're lucky to even be alive.
Macaroni and cheese and shit.
Right. Ooh. You're lucky to be alive, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Poloni.
Pink poloni.
Yeah, but poloni tried to kill us last year, so no, nobody's eating poloni with their kids.
Not anymore, but we used to.
My sister was frustrated recently with my niece's birthday, and my niece is 8. So they still do a big hoopla at school when it comes to kids' birthdays. And they were like, yeah, please make sure that you bring party packs for all of the kids. But then they're like, no, you can't have too much sugar in here. And then you have to mind this and you have to mind that. And it's like, well, what am I putting in a party pack then? It's meant to be sugary and it's meant to be fun.
I mean, my little nephew, he's 3, he'll be 4 next year. He came home with a party pack on Friday last week. He brought home a little, and then his older brother like dived into his party pack and took out whatever he wanted.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he just enforced his rules because he's the bigger brother, and that's just the survival of the fittest, right?
Yeah. Damn straight.
The same thing happens at school. I mean, if you have a really great sandwich and there's a bigger kid who wants that sandwich, guess what?
It's the circle of life.
That's right.
And he steals your food.
That's right. You know what happens.
But I also know with a school my friend's kid goes to, they don't even want any sort of fruit juice. They don't want any sugary content. So the kids only have to drink water there.
Look, I think we all know like sugar is bad for you. But kids, I mean, unless you're a fat diabetic child, in which case your life expectancy is probably only 10 years anyway, and you should probably eat all the sugar you want just so you can have 10 good years before you hop the perch and insulin spraying out of every vein. Like, kids eat sugar, and kids can metabolize this stuff. Kids can turn anything into fuel, right? I mean,
because they need it. They run everywhere.
They run, they jump, they make a noise. Everything's hyper, everything. And now we want to turn kids into mini adults. Please tell me quickly, because I'm curious. I don't have kids. What are the expectations in terms of extramurals? Because this is just school. We're talking about going to school. Now there's a meal thing.
Mm-hmm.
As a mother, what are you expected to do for Kanejo in terms of extramurals? Because I know a couple of parents who've got a list of stuff they have to get their child to and from, pay fees for, enroll them for, because they have to get onto a list for that.
Mm.
It's a mile long.
So let me just disabuse you of the notion that I'm part of some kind of
parent cult.
Dude, I have a life of my own. Mm-hmm. And I was clear from the jump.
Yes.
That this guy is coming into my life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he must fit into my life.
Love it.
There's a like shitload of things. And there are parents out there, God bless them for being that kind of person, that will schlep the kids from the swimming to the tennis to the cello to the karate to the I am not that person.
Mm-hmm.
I am just not that person. I am totally and interested in being that person. So what he is interested in, if it is within the scope, because otherwise it's a full-time bloody job.
Of course it is. And this is what I'm getting to.
My whole madness thing. And you don't know. I mean, I'm a working mom.
Sure.
There's a lot of moms that, not only am I a working mom, I'm also by myself. I'm a single mom, mm-hmm, right? So I don't have that kind of time. Yesterday he was sick. I had to like work from home, and then you can't really work because now he's sick and you're hanging. Kids are a problem. Listen, I have a friend.
So it's finally an honest parent.
I have a friend. Who's got a hashtag.
Usually you have to wait for the moms to get drunk before you hear this kind of truth.
Kids are a problem.
No, so hang on. Who's hashtag. There's a hashtag. My friend has a hashtag. She's got a 2-year-old. She's going through the most right now. Her hashtag in the midst of it all is, and it's a Xhosa hashtag that says, Sanumita, do not fall pregnant. Ooh. This is a trap.
While she's busy looking after the 2-year-old, she's terrible. Like, Jesus, I wish I didn't get pregnant.
And,
yeah.
Look, a lot of parents do a lot of things. But that's why I'm saying that it's not so much that parenting is so difficult. We have just made it a whole other job. There is absolutely no reason why a child needs to be so super busy from 6 a.m, because that's how early some of these extramurals start, right? If you're like swimming in the A team or whatever, then the swimming practice is before class. Class starts at 7:30. Like school starts at 7:30. So if you're going to have like an hour before that of like swimming practice,
that means you're up at 4.
Ugh.
You have to get the kids to school. And then after school, there's tennis and there's swimming and there's running and there's soccer and there's rugby and there's, it's not necessary. Pick a couple of things. Find the thing that they like. Find the thing that they're good at.
No, I mean,
and concentrate on that.
Please believe me. You don't have to convince me because I wasn't the kind of kid who wanted to do any of that stuff. I was happy. I said to my mom, oh, shit.
And this is him.
You will answer it. Let's see what he wants.
No.
He's sick.
It's 6 in the morning. He must go to school.
See what he wants. Go on. Ask him what's up.
He knows that he's supposed to text me.
Ask him.
No, man.
Correct. You sure?
Yes.
Say hello to Kanejo.
You know, Aspumi probably uses the show as like her 2 hours of bliss every week.
It's just that where she can adult. Alone, man. Do you want to go deal with him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to hear this conversation.
It might be.
No, go on. Let's hear put it on speaker. I want to hear the. Hello, baby.
No, it's such a terrible thing. Now he's not answering. Hello, my baby.
Yeah.
Hi, boy.
Okay, let's see what happens here. This is we get parenting.
It's terrible
as it happens.
Gareth, no one wants this in their life. See, I told you it's not important. Now he's not answering. Oh, he doesn't.
Okay.
He's probably can't find his socks.
Wanted to
and
ask
that's
you,
also a problem.
Because a lot of parents feel pressure from other parents. They first of all don't talk like you about the reality of it. And second of all, they feel if they're not doing all of those things for their kid, that other parents are going to say they're not a good parent.
Yeah.
You know this is real. Like, it doesn't seem to affect you. But for a lot of parents, this is the problem, right? There's huge pressure. Not from the kids. I was about to say to you, I didn't have any extramurals for the first... I couldn't care less. When that school bell rang, I was happy to go home. And when I got home, I would run around the garden, or I'd watch TV, or I'd do something. get a cold. Irritate my mother. But I didn't need to be involved. My brother played a lot of team sports. I hate team sports. I always hated them and never liked to be a part of a team. So that wasn't my thing. I wasn't interested in karate. Wasn't interested in... poetry or public speaking.
Chess?
Hell no.
Okay.
No, I thought of these people were like their need to belong was just ridiculous. And this is just what made me different. But as a parent.
But those people
kid, yeah?
with their need to belong have mm-hmm. grown yeah. up to be these parents. This need to be
You're
so
right.
exceptional.
Right. Thank
this,
you.
This need to be so exceptional. This need. Remember there was a book a couple of years ago which became like super bestseller, The Tiger Mom.
Yes.
That's that. Right. That's the native that started all the trouble.
Yeah. She was this overachiever.
Asian mom.
Yeah. Who kind of got her kid to do everything and really involved. She was the first helicopter parent who just would not let her child be a child. And I mean, a lot of people thought she was brilliant and, you know, for better or for worse, she set this impossible standard for so many parents.
Yeah, so that need to be exceptional. That's what's driving a lot. I had a conversation with an educational psychologist here in Joburg a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And she was telling me how many children in all these high-end kind of Joburg private schools have educational psychologists as their homework partners. So the people helping them.
You have got to be kidding.
So when you see these 8 distinctions, 7 distinctions, because also, you know, the schools kind of weed out, because that's what they want. They all want the 10 distinction mm-hmm. kind of students. There are students out there who are exceptional kids. But a lot of these kids have to work so hard to be that. And that's why. Teenage suicide, depression.
No, they grow. They're not kids. They're never kids.
Because we're all obsessed with being exceptional.
You didn't have that problem, hey, Gugu? No distinctions.
I don't have distinctions. I pass with 30-40%, and I played outside. That's the difference between.
No, I played outside too.
And these kids.
Dude, I got. I think I had 2 distinctions, and they were. I promise you, it was a fluke. It was because I loved those subjects, and I was just interested in them, and I didn't put in effort. They made me curious, so I read more about them, I did more of the work.
And isn't that like what we should be kind of, I think that's where like self-actualization as a parent is going to come from, where you aim to find that thing that the kid is interested in
mm-hmm. yeah.
and stoke that interest and let them be exceptional at that thing. They
right,
like
I mean, exactly. Just yesterday we were talking about this kid who won the Fortnite World Championship, right?
Dude!
$3 million.
Mm.
And like... I was kind of trying to figure out when, because he says he plays about 6 hours.
A day. He's 16, so I don't know when he started.
Well, because Fortnite wasn't there long ago.
Yeah.
But
Fortnite
he plays about
was released,
6 hours
I think, in 2017.
A day.
Yeah.
6 hours.
Not
and
to
he
me.
Still goes to school.
Yeah, to me, that's time well spent.
But when does he sleep? I was trying to figure this out. If you are at school.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes back at about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And well, sleeps at like 11.
Mandla Minga, who's my Vonchakachaka's son, mm-hmm. posted something really interesting on Facebook. He said he posted this thing from beingguru.com, which says it's all about skills now. Google, IBM, and Apple are no longer requiring a college degree from people who want to work there. The whole thing's changed. And I want to let parents know, because I'm not a parent, so I'm not a threat to you. I'm not going to pressure you like another parent would. I'm not going to tell you how to do what you do. Mm. Just listen, people and nations.
Yeah.
With peace and love.
With peace and love, let me come to you. Let me tell you
come
what.
Come on with it.
Here it is. Parents, chill. You, the kids of today and the kids who will grow up to be the adults of tomorrow are going to need a totally different skill set to the one you had. If you were average when you were younger and your kid maybe has a spark of genius in them, they'll figure it out. Ooh. They'll find it on the way. Something will spark their attention. They'll find an old rock in the garden, or they'll find a book in the shelf, or they'll find something on the internet that makes them really curious, and they'll find something. But you don't have to pressure them with the old systems. You don't have to get them into university to study medicine like most parents in the 1980s thought they had to get their children into. You know, there were kids. I remember there was this one girl at school with me. Her parents pressured her so hard to get these distinctions, and so she could go and study. I think it was medicine, or could even have been actuarial science. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But this poor girl cracked so hard under the pressure because she didn't get the results that she wanted in, you know, matric or even the year before. And she would cry, and she'd be really worried about going home that day because her parents are going to be so disappointed.
Imagine.
And like, do you really think now, at this stage of her life, she gives a shit about those results? Not a chance.
There's a part
she
of me.
She had three kids and she never got a job. Okay. She's happy.
Did she get a rich husband at least?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, I was going to say she's living in the blue car from yesterday.
But look at her. She spent her high school just depressed and miserable and trying to get these stupid marks. For what?
There's a little part of me though that thinks we're too far gone with this.
What do you mean?
I didn't have these on top of everything parents, but I still.
Well, it's only because you were the last child.
Yeah.
They'd given up by then.
I actually called my mother a couple of weeks ago to ask her, have I ever had like my chicken pox and did I get proper?
Because they didn't even tell you?
She doesn't know. She can't remember. So that's exhibit A for my parents. But even though I didn't have these parents who were on top of things, I still through going through school and having, you know, my peers, it was healthy competition because I'm not, you know, dead by it, but still fought and experience that pressure where now it's like, oh Lord, why aren't you doing extra mural? And oh my goodness, what are you going to write on your report? And what about your university applications? I think we're too far gone, like, and everyone actually needs to chill.
Did you ever feel pressure to like have to be in a sports team or to have to do well at, I don't know, debating or any of this stuff? Because those pressures were real.
Mm. No, dude, I didn't feel pressure to do any of that. I did play sports, you know, I was a
But you played it because you wanted to, right?
Yeah. I played cricket, I played rugby, I got into surfing, whatever.
Right.
But to go back to your point about kids not needing an education and all that, degrees and all that.
Yeah.
Sia made it here.
Like, I know.
What
Look
did
at
he
him.
Study?
Look He's at done him. Really well.
Exactly.
Yeah, I never preach that choir. I'm like,
no, but
I don't know.
But this article that Mandla put up on Facebook, I love. It's not about the college degree anymore. And we've seen with this college admissions scandal in America that parents are still trying their damnedest through hook and crook and lies and deceit.
Emphasis on crook there.
To get their kids. And they're going to jail, by the way. Those two women are going to go to jail.
Felicity Huffman is going to jail?
That's what they say.
Imagine.
So is it worth it? So what's happened here? You've got
this kid
who didn't want to go to college, and the parents were so keen for them to live. You know, they were living vicariously through their kids, obviously.
Mm.
And they said, the best advantage we can give you, and don't get me wrong, like
every
parent wants to help their kid get as far and ahead as possible, obviously. But man, look at how they've ruined their lives. They've ruined their children's lives in this pursuit of what? Getting into some college with a thousand or a million other, I mean, how many graduates from these colleges? Must be a couple of hundred thousand by now. So what? Doesn't make you interesting. I've met Harvard alumni. I was at a drinks evening not so long ago with people who'd been to Oxford and Cambridge and Harvard. And they were all talking to each other. They said, where did you go? I said, University of Pretoria, but I never even finished law. And they thought that was hilarious. They didn't dwell on it for long. We carried on talking about the subject matter.
So the most important thing then is to not buy into the pressure, but rather raise a child who stands up for themselves and becomes their own person. Meanwhile, Sally next door, those learning Mandarin, and then at 3 years old, and you know, Bill is learning how to code at two.
it's okay.
It's a lot.
I think, you know, the thing that we've pressured ourselves into forgetting is that human beings are natural learners.
Mm.
Like, we all learn naturally. We learn how to talk, for crying out loud. We learn how to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Quite, you know, that's what we do. When a lot of people today in the workplace, when they were at school and varsity, mm-hmm. there were no, like, personal computers.
No.
There were no iPads a couple of years ago. You know what I'm saying? And we have all learned.
They struggled
how
a lot.
So that's, for me, one of the most important things as a parent is, teach him to be okay with new things. Teach him to figure it out. Teach him to, if something is new and it interests him, if something is new and it is now part of his life, he must be okay with it. Don't be afraid of it. Engage it and just try it out. That's the, like, best thing. All these other things, they're going to be, it'll all work out. It'll all work out. With or without me, it'll all work out.
It is tough. I do not envy a parent out there right now.
Hell no.
Imagine.
It's horrible. All right, here's some interesting things. First of all, this email or this message comes from Falling One, who says the only baiting a teenage guy is interested in is masturbating.
I knew it was going there.
So that one's true.
Okay, then.
I have a
stay. See what happens.
Dr. Robin Spring says, I have a stay-at-home husband with an au pair to deal with my 8-year-old schedule. It's crazy what's expected of them. Ballet, tap dancing, swimming, hockey, netball, drama, choir, percussion, piano. And I remember just playing after school. I turned out okay. Well, she's a doctor. Look at her.
Expected by whom?
Yeah.
Look at that list.
Who's making these rules?
For what did she write, an 8-year-old?
KC says, good morning, guys. Why the fuck can prisoners get free meals and not school kids? Vote for me for president and I'll show those motherfuckers in jail. Thursday isn't the best show, but you've started on a good topic.
Okay, Casey.
All right. Thanks, Casey.
Casey for president.
Apparently, they call these schoolyard taxes. That's what they call this stuff that we're talking about from Andre.
Jeez.
Morning, guys. I need no more bullshit to be the soundtrack to my life. Well, if you listen to us, it is. All right. Let's get into the five things you need to know this morning. You want to know what the news is? Let's quickly check them out. Don't forget, later on, the burning platform is coming. Let's see. Let's start off with something about crime.
Crime?
Well, SARS has suspended 3 senior executives accused of misconduct. I love this. I love finding out how, like, the inner workings of SARS is just as crazy as everywhere else. Because they expect all of us to be squeaky clean, but they're not. So the Chief Officer of Governance, Hlengani Mathebula, who's the Chief Officer of Human Capital, then Teboho Mokoena and Luther Lebelo, they are Group Executive Employee Relations, the Human Capital, and the Governance Officer. They were all placed on precautionary suspension with immediate effect. SARS said it was part of an ongoing comprehensive review of the whole parastatal's leadership, initiated by Commissioner Edward Kiswete in response to the report on the Commission of Inquiry into Tax Administration. So they're firing and suspending people inside of SARS. And you never hear anyone being fired and suspended in any other government departments. SARS obviously taking this very seriously. From ENCA this morning, apparently South Africa is in desperate need of a Marshall Plan. This is according to Zwelinzi Mavavi. Remember, the Marshall Plan was what was put into action in America by, I think it was, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Mm. Just during and post, I think it was it was pre-World War II. It was between World War I and II, I think, the Marshall Plan. The Union Federation says the government must accept that the country is in crisis and come up with a plan to grow the economy. Can we all just stop being so childish about this? Our government doesn't know what it's doing. This is patently obvious from what we see in the economic data. And we had an interesting guest on yesterday who had quite a lot to say about this. But the fact is, unemployment is up. Growth is down. This government has mismanaged. If this was a company, it would be bankrupt already. The government doesn't know. So stop, Zwelinzi Mavavi, stop trying to force government to sit around the table and come up with a plan when they've already made it abundantly evident. They can't come up with a plan. You've asked a bunch of plumbers to do the electrician's job. These guys are not capable. There is not a skill set among them that can be put into action here to make things work. I'm sorry. There are people in government who I do like and respect. Few, but there are some. People like Tito Mboweni, who's come back out of the wilderness suddenly to be our finance minister. And when he says things like the Reserve Bank needs to have its independence, people lose their shit with him because it doesn't fit into some ideological plan that someone who's only grown up with Marx in their life has stuck in every neuron in their head. These are not the people who can fix an economy. They can't. We can't even define what we like about private property ownership, which is the cornerstone of any economic activity. If I own a cup of coffee and Sia wants that cup of coffee, I'm willing to sell it to him. He gives me a price, we make a deal. That doesn't involve government. Government doesn't need to have a tariff on the coffee, or Sia needs to apply for a license to buy the coffee from me. We're talking to people who do not understand supply and demand. They understand policy, and their policies are shit because the economy's not growing. If your policies were better, you might be able to enable better economic growth, but you can't. Now, I don't know how much more evidence you want, Zwelinzi Mavavi. He's asking the nursery school kids to please run the school better.
See, Zwelinzi Mavavi had a seat at the table.
And yes, correct.
What did
correct.
He do with his seat at the
he
table?
He spoiled his seat at the table.
So...
Exactly. And he proved to us that he's just a talking head. This pastor, Omar Torso, have you been watching this thing?
The plot thickens.
Scores of people have come out in support of him. In a rare show of unity, the DA and ANC stood side by side outside the High Court in Port Elizabeth in support of alleged victims. Against him, obviously. The National Prosecuting Authority is opposing an application forcing the state to give further details on the charges. Omar Torso, though he's got his supporters, don't you worry.
Mm-hmm.
They are all sitting in the court too. Says he will feel ambushed in his new trial if he's not provided with additional details about the 90 charges he's facing. They include rape, human trafficking, and racketeering. Listen, dude, I'd say when you've got 90 charges up against you, I don't think 90 is the kind that someone who's trying to smear you is going to be able to gather information on.
No. Yeah.
This is like Bill Cosby saying, well, all 50 of those women are lying because I've always been faithful to my wife. It's not possible.
Yeah, the wife who's in Cancun right now.
This pastor is he's just a mind. Slimy son of a bitch.
What's his church? Jesus Dominion.
Oh, yeah, it's got a long name.
Yes.
See, the longer your name is as a church, like, the more credibility you
Jesus
have.
Touches my heart every week in the Central Peace Fellowship Church.
That's the one.
Yeah.
How did you know, Sia?
Thanks.
The IAAF has hailed parity and clarity after a new ruling regarding Caster Semenya. A Swiss court ruling means South African Caster Semenya will be able to defend her world 800-meter title in Doha. And it creates much-needed parity and clarity, says the World Athletics Governing Body. But that's the same World Athletics Governing Body that brought this situation to a head in the first place.
I'm so confused by this trial now.
You guys can't claim that this is parity and clarity if you were forced to go to court in order to become the people of parity and clarity. Right? Am I missing the point here? This is like the wolf after he's killed all the sheep going... well, now I'm prepared to talk to the sheep because I've realized, you know, the error of my ways. But all the sheep are dead already.
But even you see, at least the wolf is even recognizing the error of his ways. I don't even think they're claiming that. They're like, oh, okay, actually.
Well,
see, even sports administrators are politicians.
Of course, especially in this country. That's for some people, it's the only paycheck they'll ever get. And then Independent Online says that Trump and Epstein partied together. Then a Palm Beach mansion came between them. Listen.
Why are we holding this against
Well, here's the problem is that this Jeffrey Epstein is going down in a ball of flames. Now, I want you to try something. I want you to go into Google and I want you to type in Trump Epstein and your page will fill up. Mm-hmm. Then I want you to go on Google and put in Trump Clinton and watch what happens. Nothing comes up.
Really?
Do you know why? That is because Google are actively trying to prevent people from connecting Epstein to the Clintons. This is not some conspiracy theory. This is what the search engine is doing. This is what this company does. They're an organization. Am I right, Google? You looked it up?
I'm looking it up right now, and I can't argue with that, Gareth.
Right.
So to Google,
I'm not making
Trump.
This up. Go and look it up. Now, you know, and I know, and everybody else knows, if you look for any news over the past 20 years about the Clintons and the Epsteins. These are big buddies.
Mm.
The Clintons, the Epsteins, Prince Andrew. There's a whole lot of very, very politically connected people who've been to Epstein's island. Trump's never been to this guy's island. Trump is tenuously connected to him because they shared a flight once. And Trump's the only guy who's actually said from the outset he doesn't like this Jeffrey Epstein. Now, the Clintons, how can it be possible that despite tons of photographs of the Clintons and Epstein hanging out together. The fact that he helped fund some of Hillary Clinton's election campaigns as senator in New York. The fact that he was big buddies with Bill and was pardoned during Bill's reign of terror as a president. How can it be possible that Google managed to massage out all the Clinton-Epstein links, but they're trying to create this idea that Trump is connected to him? Well, listen to this. This is now from IOL. They were apparently neighbors in Florida. They jetted from LaGuardia to Palm Beach once together. This is news.
Once.
Now, I've been on a plane with Jacob Gedleyihlekihi Zazuma. Does that mean I'm involved in state capture?
Which plane?
From Jersey to Durban.
No, I just saw
commercial flight. Yeah.
You
commercial
never know. Flight. You must check these
things.
This
is the same here. This is also a commercial plane. Flight. So Donald Trump has said, and of course we can't believe him because he's a politician now, but he's always been a rather, less than honest con man in many respects. But the Clintons are like this guy's best friends.
Oh.
And you can't find a Google result on them and him and the Clintons.
Here
Don't
we go.
Don't tell me that Google aren't involved in this.
Here's the connection between Clinton and Jeffrey.
Yeah, go on.
They
Did you
have,
find it on Google?
I just was sitting on the
use,
Google.
Use another search engine.
Away.
Use any other search engine, by the way, and you'll end up with completely different results, just proving that Google's in the pockets of the Democrats.
This is former President Clinton and Jeffrey took several international trips together
right.
in the early years of his post-presidency, including a trip to several African countries with Kevin Spacey.
Right.
We
know he's a creep.
He has a possible future creep as well. Right. I don't know how
Do yourself
he's
another favor. Go
Chris
and look up.
Tucker.
Go and look up Little St. James Island in the Caribbean. Okay, this is the island that Epstein owns. There's this weird temple on the island. There are these underground buildings. There is this like sex pool resort house thing where Epstein would invite people like Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton come and hang out with him, and underage girls were a part of the mix and all kinds of things. You're telling me that the flight he took with Trump is the problem? Come on. Like, let's all stop being force-fed bullshit.
Oh.
Look up that island. It's the creepiest stuff I've seen.
According to the Clintons' team, the trip was about democracy, empowering the poor, citizen service, and combating HIV/AIDS. This is the trips to Africa.
Yeah, I'd like to meet one person in Africa who can who can tell me a good story about Jeffrey Epstein helping them with medicine.
And then an official Clinton spokesperson actually confirmed this,
yes,
that this wasn't the only trip. There were also trips to Europe and there were also trips to Asia. But
right,
Clinton and Jeffrey haven't spoken in well over a decade.
So I'd like to say, rather than just reading whatever shit IOL can trawl by searching the internet in a cursory fashion, look at what I've just told you to do and go and spend your day going down that rabbit hole. Let's see what you come up with, because it'll be better than that journalist from IOL did.
Mm,
yeah?
Mm, mm.
Excellent.
Yeah, so let's see. The
Was that the fifth piece of news?
That was it.
Yeah. Are you sad that you've done,
no,
you're done with the news?
One more?
Okay.
Oops. So letting it all wash over me.
The sex trafficking trial itself is expected to begin in June of 2020.
Well, here are some messages from a few people. Let's first go to Ali. Ali says, it may not be Google burying Clinton searches, but rather the liberal media that isn't writing about it. And those are the only sources that Google considers credible in the name of curbing hate speech. Yeah, good point. There's a documentary on Netflix called Hacked. It deals with Google and spying. Yeah,
yeah, I saw that. It came out over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the great hack, isn't it?
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Did you watch it?
Not yet.
Yeah, I think it will mess with my mind. I'm not ready to
look
watch
at the
it.
Way, and this is a good point, Ali says. Look at the way that, oh, it's not Ali, it's someone else. Let me just give them credit. Chris. Chris says, look at the way our Twitter was controlled by a company for the Guptas.
Mm.
Remember that? So you can. Don't believe social media. Someone says something's trending, it's because someone's paid for it to trend. We all know that, right? There are companies that specialize in controlling an online narrative for specific clients. They will create blog posts and stories specially designed to bury negative news online.
What does this mean for us as consumers? We just have to...
You've got to do more homework. If you really want to know what the truth is worth mining for, but it's not going to be easy.
And where do you even find the truth these days? What do you even know to be true?
I mean, luckily, you know, there are alternatives to Google. There are alternatives to Facebook. There are alternatives to the local traditional media. And you've got to find them and you've got to dig a little deeper, because a lot of these people are lazy. They get paid minimum wage and they just use each other's stories.
Well, that's because a lot of us are lazy.
Correct.
And we're just happy to get the sound bites.
Correct.
We're just happy to get the sound bites and use that
as
a point of reference. Very few of us actually read deeper and think it through and ask our own questions and look for the answers to the questions that we have.
Right.
You know, when you read a story and you're like, but what about what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll just get into the clickbaity headline of it all.
All right.
Call it a day.
Let's get to Said by Sia. But before that, for years, South Africa has been plagued with violence aimed at foreigners. I know someone who I know very well has just got back from Zimbabwe now. And they said that trip back through the Beitbridge border and once they were in South Africa was all kinds of hell. They get victimized, get money extorted from them, and they have been living in South Africa for 20 years or more, and they said it's always this terrible, anxious, scary time because she's never sure if she can actually make it back in. You know, the officials will try to get whatever they can out of her.
The mayor of Joburg, guys, is running a consistent campaign.
No, he is.
Against...
He is.
The
right.
mayor of Joburg.
What is
but forget about him. Ordinary people.
Never forget about him.
No, but we've mentioned him. So we've paid attention to him.
No.
But ordinary people's lives are made all kinds of hell in all parts of this country because we're xenophobic. We're a bunch of fucking xenophobes. We don't mind when Germans come over here.
It's a little bit more than xenophobes.
Well, go on. Finish that sentence.
How would you describe us?
Afrophobes.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. Germans will buy a house in Camps Bay, and everybody's happy to go and, you know, work for them and let them come and live in our city, and we're happy for the investment and blah, blah, blah. And that's cool. And who wouldn't be? The minute someone comes in from Zimbabwe or Malawi or Angola or Mozambique, suddenly we go, not sure if we want you here. You're taking our jobs.
What peculiar behavior.
It's the same attitude that we criticize in people from America who don't like Mexicans or people from... Europe who don't like foreigners who are looking for work there. So we're exactly the same. We're shitty people, and we treat these foreigners badly.
Yeah, no. Let's take this whole tree trunk out of our eyes before we take the splint out of
America's
eyes.
We treat fellow Africans very badly.
So how has Afrophobia contributed to the downfall of Pan-Africanism among Africans? That's the latest topic on The Interchange, which is a podcast series featuring some of the best university debaters debating critical and controversial issues in South Africa and in Africa as a whole. You can listen to The Interchange. It's on cliffcentral.com. You can get it on our app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's made possible by Absa and Tsimong, and you can listen to that today. That's The Interchange. Afrophobia.
Last week's one with foreign aid. Wow.
Yeah, you liked it?
Yeah.
Now, the reason I said we've mentioned Herman Mashaba, because he certainly is one of the people who's most vocal about this and is not helping the situation.
Jeez.
But he's not actually going around killing people, which is what's happening in parts of Johannesburg, where people are driven out of communities, their possessions are set on fire, their wives and children are beaten. That's actual physical harm.
And that's where I think Herman Mashaba is particularly dangerous.
Because
what he does is he creates an environment that makes it okay. So no, because he says, taking your jobs. What?
I don't think he's ever said go out there and hurt people.
Well, he doesn't have to say go out there and hurt people. But when he tweets three times last night, he's tweeting, the problem with all the drugs in our country is that they come from across our borders. Right?
Is he not right?
So he tweets, they come from across our borders. And if you've got a child who is on Nyaupe, who is on drugs, and then you see a Nigerian national,
is this Herman Mashaba's fault for saying
Herman Mashaba's fault. But Herman Mashaba's fault is the fact that he makes it okay to target other Africans. No. So yes, it's true that drugs come from across our border.
Right.
But drugs and, as we're all watching the Mark Batchelor story unfold in front of us.
Let's be clear about this, though. The culpability for these hideous acts of violence against people is not Herman Mashaba's. He could say what he wants. Just because Pumi says she doesn't like people who put butter on a tennis biscuit doesn't mean I'm going to run around killing people who put butter on tennis biscuits. If people believe that Herman Mashaba is giving them permission to do this, then the problem is that they don't understand their own lack of responsibility. I don't believe that just because someone says something, it's the same as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying that Donald Trump is creating this world of xenophobia. He's making it okay with his bigoted, racist hate speech. If people are perpetrating hatred and violence against each other, then those people who are actually committing the violence are the problem. Because you should be able to say just about anything, and it shouldn't incur action from someone else. There's a specific category for that. It is not protected speech.
Yeah, I think the perpetrators definitely need to take all of the responsibility in the acts that they commit.
Yes, exactly.
But there's something.
If you've got a foreigner living next to you, it's a foreigner in inverted commas because they've been living here probably longer than you even.
Mm-hmm.
In Johannesburg. Johannesburg's a city of foreigners.
But there's something
and
to
you
be.
And you go across the road and you kill that person just because they speak differently to you. You are the problem, not Herman Mashaba tweeting about it.
Yeah, but
you are both the problem.
There's something to be said about
the
influence.
Don't equate them. They're not.
No.
Okay. I mean, you can't even have the conversation that they're the same thing. Herman Mashaba is a politician.
You are both the problem. And I think that for me, one of the things that, and it's the same as when we were saying.
Okay, break it down for me. So who's the big 90%, 10%? How do you equate this?
I think that they are equal.
You think Herman Mashaba
is absolutely equal.
Okay, well then you're saying language is violence. I'm sorry, that's not possible. It's absolutely impossible. You're saying that someone who will go and murder is the same as someone saying foreigners bring drugs into the country. One is not a criminal act. One is completely without any criminal intent.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Do we even understand? Hold on, Pumi, do we even understand crime?
So, the thing is,
you're saying they're the same.
I am saying that they are the same and they are equally dangerous. And let me tell you why I'm saying they are the same and equally dangerous. As much as we would love to believe that the world is full of people who know how to distinguish between what a person says and what it is that I'm supposed to do with what that person is saying. As much as we would love to believe that, that is not the world we live in.
Low expectations.
This is not the world that we live in.
You're saying some people are too stupid to understand?
Absolutely.
Okay, and as a result, we must all dumb down our language.
No one is saying we must dumb down our language. I am saying that as a politician, as a politician in power.
We shouldn't say something that's true just in case it makes someone do something bad. Imagine that. I couldn't do a show that way.
I'm not saying don't do it. I am saying that as a person who is in power, as a person with a point of responsibility, right? It is important to be aware of the fact that when you say to people who are poor, when you say to people who are disenfranchised, when you say to people who are living
you're
in a situation...
creating a separate standard for some people.
No.
Yes, you are.
I am saying...
You're not
when
saying
you
people
say
are equal.
To,
you're saying...
These, people are
these
not
poor
equal.
These poor stupid people need to be treated like
you
poor stupid
you
people.
You haven't heard the rest of the statement. You have made an assumption and you haven't heard the
That's
rest of the statement.
That's just the start of it and it's already bad.
But how... You have not heard the rest of the
well,
statement.
Finish
so
it,
you cannot
you can
make an
it.
Assumption
let's
based on that.
See if you can save it.
And when you say to those people, your problems are because of these people. And these people have no... They have no recourse. At this moment, they don't know what it is that they can do. And you are saying to them, the cause of your problems, this person that lives next to you, that came from Malawi, that came from Zimbabwe, they are the cause of all of your problems. They are the cause of all of your problems. So you say to these people, if you want to get rid of your problems, you have to get rid of these people.
I don't think anyone has said get rid of.
That's what him and Mashaba says every day.
No one said get rid of.
That
I'm sorry.
That is what him and Mashaba
get rid of,
says
as in
every
kill,
day.
As in like cockroaches in Rwanda
he's
talk.
No, he's saying
sorry,
we have to get rid of these people.
Show me one tweet where he said that.
That's what I'm looking for. He says this every day.
You've been looking for a long time.
I can't even find him and Mashaba on my timeline.
I cannot believe that you would say that someone who actually commits the crime of murder is the same as someone who says foreigners are a problem because they bring in drugs. The two are completely... That you can't even reconcile.
When you
that.
Say the source of your problems is the fact that these people come over our borders.
No, but don't
these
paraphrase
people,
him. Now we need to actually
yeah,
understand.
That's
what, he
what
said.
We need to find.
I want to read that tweet and I want to find a way to misinterpret it like you have.
I'm not misinterpreting Herman Mashaba.
I don't follow Herman Mashaba, so I don't know what he's saying. I doubt very much that murderers inside of South Africa's informal settlements are following him either. It just seems like we're shifting the locus of blame here.
No,
like
I don't think we're shifting the locus of blame.
There are genuinely wicked people who will go out and kill someone else with or without Herman Mashaba's tweeting. You understand
and Herman
that,
Mashaba,
right?
Yeah, I understand that.
And they were
but
doing
Herman
it before,
Mashaba's tweeting
long
is irresponsible.
Long before he came onto the scene as mayor of Joburg, but there were xenophobic attacks. In fact, long before Herman Mashaba was anything but a private businessman of some renown to only a few people, there were already xenophobic attacks. How can you equate the fact that people are being killed with someone expressing an opinion as mayor of Joburg, which seems perfectly valid because A, it is true on a basis of fact that drugs are brought from outside of this country. That's uncontroversial.
So here, 21 hours ago, he tweeted, we need to close our borders because drugs are coming in.
Right.
Someone responded to that and say, don't forget to close our airports and harbors too. Why make it seem as if drugs are only coming from neighboring African countries only? And then he responded to that.
Borders are your airports and harbors. Isn't that what he said?
That's what he responded by saying, for your information, drugs coming into our countries are from countries other than African ones. Please ask someone to tell you what a border is.
So I don't see any reason for that to be controversial. Next, are there any others? I mean, we could take all morning, but this seems ridiculous point of view to imagine that someone who says that they don't think foreigners bringing drugs into the country is a bad idea is the same as someone who goes and murders a foreigner.
Yeah,
that
there's
no way there's a causal link there.
I wouldn't equate the two, but there's definitely
law,
some level
in a,
of
in a court of law, there's no causal link whatsoever. That's outrageous. That your words are violence is madness. Madness. We can't have conversations then.
So here's a focus on the operation on illegal immigrants and illegal activities in your area.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. Who wouldn't be for that?
Yeah. And then this is my point.
Is this Herman Mashaba?
This is Herman Mashaba. So he says, in Yeovil, right? Yes. So now here we are, predominantly black area, predominantly Africans are the people that are in this place, right?
This is and like Trump says, talking about
in your
Baltimore.
Area. So the illegal activity in your area directly equated to 30 illegal immigrants. So how do you know, sitting living in Yeovil, who is illegal and who is not? Right? He's just saying, in this area of yours, the crime in your area is because of illegal immigrants. And it is not, it is...
All right, so you're home in Mashaba, you've got to deal with Yeovil, and you've got to tweet about it. What do you say?
I think
How do you tweet it?
So you tweet about the fact that we've got visible policing in your area to bring down crime. But to equate that only to illegal immigrants is wrong.
I don't read anything about illegal
but
immigrants.
But that's what he's saying. He's saying illegal activities in your area,
right?
30 illegal immigrants arrested and detained in
well,
the global area.
Well, that's because he's the people who were guilty of the crimes, the guilty people, the criminals, happened to be illegal. He's just pointing out a fact. I don't see how you equate that to someone going around and murdering
so
an illegal
here
immigrant.
Here he is. One suspect arrested, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Mayfair, illegal immigrant, illegal drugs. Right. This person, so he's saying this person is a suspect, right? And he's equating that this person who is a suspect is not going to come back and say, actually, this person is no longer a suspect. We've investigated and is
but he's not
in the clear.
He's not the criminal justice system. He's the mayor of Johannesburg.
But you
he's
see, this
you,
is the thing for me, is that he is only saying, he is only saying that the suspects, we're just detaining people, right? And we are targeting the people that we believe to be illegal immigrants, right? They are suspects.
They probably arrested 15 South Africans on the same day as well.
And he doesn't say that.
But he doesn't have to be, he's not there to, he's not the media. He's the
but
mayor
he
of Joburg.
But he is choosing. So he is choosing. If we have arrested 30 people, right, and 15 of them are illegal, it is important to say.
But I've already acknowledged. We know that this guy has a problem with illegal immigrants. I have a problem with illegal immigrants too. Are you going to tell me I'm guilty of the murder of them because I have a problem with them? If you cannot come into this country legally, and they make it very hard for people to do that, I'm sorry for you, but you are already in contravention of the law. Therefore, it's going to be easier for us to lock you up for other things because you're already breaking the law. That's just how it works. Either we have a system of rules or we don't. Either
saying,
we have open borders
so we agree
or
with
we don't.
It. We, you and I both agree that it is important to make sure that illegal activity is recorded as illegal activity and we deal with illegal activity. But to only talk about illegal Africans, right? And also to only talk about Africans as
no,
if they are all illegal.
I don't, none of those tweets that you've read to me give me the impression that this guy is on a mission to just go after African immigrants. I don't think that's true at all. I don't think that's absolutely making a mockery of all of his tweets.
I stand with Herman Mashaba.
Oh, boy. All right, it's time for the burning platform. We'll get to that next. Oh, yeah, yeah. What a start to the I love these
Fuck
arguments
him.
With Pumi.
Hate Herman Mashaba.
You do hate him. I want to know why. I want to know why you hate
him. Because he's an Afrophobe.
No, I don't think so. You hated him before that, too.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I didn't care about him before that.
You hate him because he's got an opinion.
No.
I hate Herman Mashaba because he doesn't fix the flippin' traffic lights.
Now, there's a good reason. But why would you... So what is it? I want to know why.
So because... You see, Gareth, the thing about having a position of power...
Mm-hmm.
Is that it gives you an opportunity to make a difference. And if you choose to target people because they are different from you, if you choose to target people, and this is a Herman Mashaba who's very quickly forgotten that he used to walk around this South Africa, he used to walk around this Joburg and get stopped and treated as if he is illegal in his own country.
Tito
he
Mboweni's
has forgotten about
picked
this.
Up and locked up.
I remember that.
I don't think that that's... That doesn't give you a reason.
So to target a person, you know, to target Tito Mboweni's son because he's darker. To target Tito Mboweni's son because he's a shade darker than what you think a South African is supposed to be.
You're making it sound like Herman Mashaba targeted him.
But Herman
Mashaba didn't. There were saps that picked up.
Listen, I don't. I think this is seriously. It sounds irrational to me.
It
sounds like you're so. You have a personal axe to grind with
him. She's turned into a Democrat. She's equating speech with.
I mean, this
with
is
violence.
This is like when Trump tweets about he hates the rep from Maryland, right? Ellis or whatever his name is. So Trump has got a personal beef with this guy. because they don't like each other. So like Trump always does, he makes it personal. But then he goes after the guy's constituency. His constituency happens to be mostly black, mostly poor. So now everybody's saying, oh, Trump being a racist again. But Trump's problem is with this dude.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trump is that petty. And they're making it look like it's now every Democrat. We're now Al Sharpton's involved, you know. And as soon as Al Sharpton gets involved, then he speaks on behalf. I don't know who made him king of all blacks, but this guy comes along and suddenly he's the king of all blacks. Now it's a big race war, and, you know, racism. And once this racism word has run its course, which it already has, in my opinion, what's left for them to criticize here? Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris. They're all hopping on the, I can't believe how racist Donald Trump is.
Did you guys watch that debate last night, by the way?
No, we want to hear about it.
Yes.
Can we talk about it in the platform?
All
right, the Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's next.
The Stick Democratic around. Presidential debate. Is that what you're talking about?
That's the only one going on there.
Yarr!
This is CliffCentral.com.